chapter 2. Thank you, Carrie, for that. Appreciate that. Second Kings chapter 2. One other thing, if it has not been passed along to you yet, Mike and Sarah Jones have decided not to say anything to their younger children yet. There's some Reagan's in the competition this afternoon and so forth. So as you're leaving here today, if you would happen to run into Reagan or Colton, Reagan or Callan in particular, just know that they're not aware that Graham has passed yet. So just be aware of that. So in your conversation, you watch that and let them speak to them at the appropriate time. Elijah here, and we have seen this passage, we've preached from this passage actually before, and yet it's a stirring passage and I think most appropriate for the day today. Elijah has come to the end of his powerful, effective life, and he is literally leaving in a whirlwind. What an amazing story. And yet, as we look at the story of the departure of Elijah from this earthly life to his heavenly glory, we can learn some things that help us in living life now, for those of us that are here. So I want to read the story to remind you of the facts of the story this morning, and then walk through just, I think, some good principles for us in light of, even as a church family, as we go through the loss of yet another one of our dear saints. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Remember, Elisha was following now in the footsteps of Elijah, had been in training for some period of time. We're not sure the exact specific amount of time, but had been in training for this. And Elijah, verse 2, said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he, Elisha, said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they went, and they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at the Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. What an amazing story. Try to put yourself in the footsteps of Elisha in particular, but maybe even in the footsteps of Elijah here, to have been taken up in a whirlwind and the chariots and horsemen of Israel caught up to glory. What an amazing departure. And yet, Elisha was left behind. The first words out of his mouth was not, "I saw him, I saw him!" He cried of his loss, "My father, my father." His spiritual mentor, the one who had been training him for possibly even several years at this point, first felt deep loss. And then he understood his calling. So he takes that mantle back to the Jordan River. All right, is God going to be with me as he was with Elijah? Will I inherit the work that Elijah had trained me to do? And God, in his great grace to Elisha, parts the water. Amazing. What a confirmation for Elisha to know that God was still there. Elijah was gone, never to be seen again. In fact, the part of the story that we didn't read, the prophets, the sons of the prophets at the several schools, they said, "Let us send men and go find him. Maybe the Lord just put him in some other place." Elisha already knew. "No, he's gone. God's taken him. Don't waste your time." They kept pressing him. "Okay, go, go, go." Whatever. "I know he's gone. I saw it with my own eyes. God has already given me a call and the power to do that call. Elijah is gone." There was spiritual confirmation in his heart that now God had given him a work to do. A work that would be in the vein, in the style, in the passion of Elijah, and yet was used in a significant way to continue to declare the great power of God to a nation that was rebelling against their God. Life, folks, must have times of preparation. If you're taking notes and you want to write some things down because you know you'll forget today because our minds are somewhat discombobulated, well, there you go. Life must have times of preparation. For Elisha, that preparation had come much before this point. Remember when he was a wealthy man driving 12 yoke of oxen? I mean, this was a tractor with dualies, folks, on front and back. All right? This was no two-rower, all right? He had done well in his farming, and then God, through Elijah, said, "Come, follow me." And Elisha had said, "Give me a second, at least to tell the family goodbye." And Elijah says, "Well, what have I done to you?" And they feast together, they worship God together, and Elisha's life is dramatically changed from that point. And God was preparing Elisha for the very moment when Elijah would depart. And God, in his simple, good way to Elisha, confirms, "Elisha, you're prepared. It's time for you to serve God like your father Elijah did." There are times of real close, what I might call personal preparation. God prepares each of us personally to be ready to meet the Lord. Elijah's heart had seemed to turn to go heavenward. As we walk through the story here, Elijah keeps on going. We don't have all the rest of the story. They knew that Elijah was going to depart that day. As a pastor, I've had, maybe I could put it this way, more opportunities than I want, to be near the bedside of someone who's soon to enter glory. And for a believer that is prepared and ready, it is a most glorious time. Last evening was one of those moments again. Unbeknownst to us, we knew that Sally was failing, but didn't anticipate it going so quickly. I think that's an act of God's grace to her and to the family. And yet, as I gather with the family, a family that knows the Lord, and a sister that knew the Lord deeply. It was cherished moments. I don't know if she even recognized if I was there. There was a moment where I think the lights were on for just a second for her, if I can put it that way. We prayed together. The family was calm and at peace. They were prepared for that moment. That's God's work in their life. And so God was preparing Elijah here to be ready for his departure. Believers never turn away from the opportunities and preparation that God is doing in your life, no matter what it is, for eternity. He is anxious to see you come. Remember Jesus prayed in John, "I will that they be with me." What a joy. So Jesus' prayer in Sally's life was answered this morning. Isn't that something? And our own human perspective is that Sally was prepared, ready to meet her Savior, growing in the Lord, accepting of the fact that there would come a day where she would have to depart this life. We're grateful that that death was not as painful or as ugly as it could have been. But that's not why we're mostly grateful. Just like Elijah, who was ready to meet his Lord. He'd served him well. There was no regrets. They were just walking along in life. Across the Jordan, I know it's unusual. You're anticipating. Elisha's on edge. Not Elijah. There appears to be not one single fear in his heart. Why? He was prepared to meet his Lord. Believer, is that where you're at today? Christ could come back today. Are you personally ready? I know that the world often, it's been at times catchphrases, no fear. Well, they try to say that enough so they try to calm their own hearts. It's full of fear. But believer, there should be no fear in your heart to meet your Savior. Walk with Him, love Him, grow in His Word. Let His Spirit continue to sanctify your heart. And then there's no fear to meet the Lord. You can with great joy pray, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." And with anticipation, look forward to that day. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, we were there not long ago. Be ye, you, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, it's not wasted, it's not empty, it's not worthless, it's not in vain in the Lord. Let us, believers, prepare for our departure like Elijah did. Life is filled with personal preparation, but then it is also filled with what I call posterity preparation. Preparation for those who are left behind. God has called each of us to that. Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." In many ways, we are one generation away from extinction. That's all. I know that people have said that in dealing with our freedoms. We're only one generation away from losing our freedoms. But even more importantly than that, we're only one generation away, one next group of people away from turning away from the Lord. The reality is, if you study biblical history, starting all the way back from Adam and Eve, there is a generation who does not believe God. Tonight, I'm not going to be there tonight. My plans were to finish up Nehemiah this evening. We're going to delay that a little bit and go to 2 Corinthians this evening. But in Nehemiah chapter 13, and you'll see it when we get there, one of the greatest spiritual leaders in the history of mankind, Nehemiah. Remember, we studied all the way through chapter 12. Remember all that he did spiritually for that nation and organized the city, got everything set up so that the people would still follow the Lord. He goes away for 12 years and he has to come back and clean up a huge mess again. 12 years! It was all of that work. You would think, wait a second, if If he can't do it, I can't for sure. No, God has called us to do all we can to prepare the next generation to serve and follow the Lord as passionately and maybe even more so than we have. God had taken the time with Elisha to prepare him for the moment when Elijah would be gone. And I am so glad. I am so glad that we have this story recorded. Elijah's ministry didn't just stop when he died. Can I be blunt for just a moment? Sally's ministry ought not to stop because she's in glory. She has spent multitudes of hours. We know, you've all been touched by it, of helping, especially you ladies, grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think there's a single one of you ladies that I've ever asked about the ladies' Bible study when she used to teach, that you wouldn't with joy and delight talk about your teacher, Sally. My wife, frankly, grudgingly gave up or took over that. Sally was pushing it on her. She said, no, you keep teaching, this is too good. Sally said, no, it's my time to step aside. It was amazing. She knew, she understood. But we still need to minister to the ladies in our church. Sally's gone, but the work is not done. And like God with Elijah and Elisha, He wants us to take the training that Sally has given through the Lord and for us to take that training and train the next generation too. How does God's work continue? Me telling you, you telling the next one, and you telling the next one, and you telling the next one. One generation to the next. Teach faithful men. John said it this way, the Apostle John, and this is most appropriate for today. 3 John chapter 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He was not speaking of his physical children there. He was speaking of his spiritual children. Folks, I know that I tell you this often, and I want you to try to understand as best as you can, as best as we can. God has given us in this church a very amazing and unique ministry in the sense that we have a group of people that are passionate about actually following the Lord. It's not our core at the church, can I put it this way? Our core is a core of many, not just a few, but many faithful people that love the Lord with all of their heart. And God wants us to affect the next generation for the Lord. We shouldn't sit back and be comfortable with just hearing the preaching and teaching of God's Word and then stop. We must be faithful in preparing the next generation. Before you know it, and those of you that are older, you understand. Before you know it, that next generation will be the ones that are leading the church. You have just witnessed over this past annual meeting somewhat of a transition in our church. Who read Scripture last week? One of the younger men in the church who is now a deacon. Now, don't give him a big head. All right. But that's proper and right. That's the way it's supposed to be. May God help that younger generation stay faithful to the Lord. We have some wonderful testimonies in our older saints, Sally being one of them. Let us prepare the next generation so that our older generation can rejoice that they see their children walking in truth. Let's go on. Life must have a time of preparation, but secondly, life should have times of reflection. I'm reminded of what Elisha tells the prophets, verse 3 and verse 5. Hold ye your peace. Be quiet. There is a tendency when the news breaks, can I put it that way, whatever the news is, when the news breaks, there's a lot of hubbub. And they're somewhat natural. You want people to know and what's going on. And yet, as the news is breaking among the prophets here that Elijah is going home, what does Elisha tell the prophets? Would you just be quiet? This is not a time to do much talking. This is a time to rejoice in the man of God who's going to leave us shortly. Time to reflect, to contemplate what God has done. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I don't know, we don't have the story. Maybe it's a question we can ask Elisha one day when we meet him in glory. Elisha, what were you thinking as you walked with Elijah that day? You start out up at Gilgal, head to Bethel, on down to Jericho, across the Jordan. And as you went, you would tell your fellow prophets, those that were in school, to learn to be godly preachers of the Old Testament, be still, be quiet. This is not a time for a lot of hubbub. Elijah's heart is clearly focused towards glory. There's nothing that we can say now that will be necessarily of use to him. And it's for us time, just time to stop and think. One of the things that we can do when we lose a dear one, we did it when Marianne passed not long ago. We can do it today. A part of really what I would consider maybe the healing processes of our heart is to reflect and remember what God has done through a dear saint of God. And rejoice in it. Is it a loss? Absolutely. But let us rejoice. Again, unbeknownst to me last evening, as I was leaving, I told Bill, I said, Bill, you've got family in. I walked in the door that evening and everything is hushed. It's quiet. That's appropriate response often and a normal response. What do you do? Many folks haven't, this is some probably for the grandsons that day was probably maybe some of their first experience near death. It's a normal part of human life, but unfortunately we've isolated ourselves in our time and culture against it often. So I said, Bill, enjoy the time with your family. There's nothing wrong. I didn't say Sally would want. God wants them to rejoice and reflect in all of the good things that God has given them over the years. It's a moment of loss. It's a loss that will be felt for years. And yet, it can be filled with wonderful reflection on God's goodness and grace to them. We had some times of laughter even last evening, though Sally was just hours from eternity. And I think that that's appropriate and right. Time to reflect and remember God's goodness and grace. You see, reflection should result in rejoicing. Paul rejoiced with the Philippians on every remembrance. Rejoicing not necessarily in the circumstances of life, because today our hearts grieve, but rejoicing in our God. I appreciate what Kevin had to say and pray this morning. God is good. And we rejoice in Him. We rejoice in the hope that God gives us. We will see Sally again. What joy! This morning was not the end. She just moved. I can't wait to move with her. Right? Amen. Let us rejoice in our God and reflect on His goodness, even in a time of deep sorrow. And you share that with the family. Help them keep their hearts heavenward. The world would say we need a crutch. No. That's no crutch. That's reality. That I have a home in heaven and I'll be able to rejoice together again. There are some dear folks in heaven I can't wait to meet. All of us could probably say that. And most importantly, I get to reflect on my good God. I will see my Savior one day face to face. Oh, that's glory. That's glory. Reflect on that. It should be a time of rejoicing. To rejoice in God's good work through the life of Elijah. To look ahead to what God can do, even as a result of Him leaving and passing the baton, handing the mantle on to someone else. Those are things to rejoice in and rejoice in our good God. Reflection, though, should also cause us to see revival in our own hearts. To be reminded of a godly life. And the work of God in a heart and life, and to see that as a testimony and example, should motivate us to walk with the Lord. Though the circumstance was slightly different, and we're going to come to this in 2 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says this, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." I would prefer, although I'm suspecting that I will again see it someday in my lifetime if the Lord tarries and I live, to be around the funeral of someone who doesn't know the Lord. I know that this may be sensitive for the Bitrix today. They just went through a funeral this past week. And the sorrow of the world does in many ways work death. And yet, as we sorrow, I realize to the Corinthians here was the sorrow that was from their sin. They realized they'd done wrong and they repented of the sin. They turned from it. That sorrow didn't work death. Nor should the sorrow that we have today for Sally's loss work death in our life. It should be like the godly sorrow of the Corinthians. It wrought carefulness in them. Yea, what clearing of yourselves, Paul said. Yea, what indignation, a sense, anger at your own sin, that you would let that be a harbored in your own heart. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Believer, when our hearts sorrow, may it draw us to walk closer to the Lord. The reality is that we will, like Sally, face death one day. It is appointed unto man once to die. You know what the statistics are, don't you? One out of one die. Not just one out of 100, not even just one out of 10. Unless the Lord returns for us, and we pray for it, we are all going to die. So let this time of reflection be a time to reflect on my walk with the Lord and my preparation for living forever with Him. Believer, it doesn't matter whether you win the football game or your team wins the football game here on earth. It doesn't matter if you get the promotion at work. What matters is when you're standing before the Lord. And He gives you a crown. That's worth it all. Work for it. Live for it. Don't forget it. And let this time of reflection on the loss of a dear saint remind us that eternity is close at hand. Can I put it this way without not trying to be overly dramatic, but one of us will be next, you know. Will you be prepared like Sally was prepared? Let it be a time of reflection. Thirdly, life must have times of preparation, times of reflection, but life will have times of separation too. The separation between Elijah and Elisha was clearly felt. My father," he said. And yet, times of separation should remind us of the reality of God. As best as I can put it in my own terms, God didn't die this morning when Sally died. God's work didn't stop when Elijah went to be with his heavenly father. The work was still there. God was still there. Elisha split the Jordan in half again. That wasn't his own doing. That was God's work. Never forget that though you may lose a most cherished person to your life, you don't lose God. This world will fail us. Life is full of death. But God is not. God is full of life. And He should be your most cherished and dearest friend. Yes, death does cause, in many ways, our minds to be drawn again to what is most important in life. And frankly, who is most important? And I'm so glad as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that when death is around me, my Savior is still much alive right with me. Trust your Lord. Know that God is still alive, that God is still working, that in fact in each one of our lives He still has a purpose and plan. And so, separation should renew us to greater service. I've alluded it to already. What did Elisha ask for when he asked for that double portion of the Spirit? Was he asking, and some have pointed out, you know, he did twice as many miracles and so forth. That's not what he was asking for. You see, the eldest son in a home would receive, when the father passed, a double portion of the inheritance. Let's have some simple math here for a second. If there were three sons in the home, when it came time to divide the inheritance was divided into four parts. The eldest son would get two parts, and the other two sons would get the other parts. If there were four sons in the home, they would divide it by five. And the eldest son would get two parts, and the others would get their part. Does that make sense? What is Elisha asking for here? Well, when the father would pass in a patriarchal system, like it was during those days, not only would the eldest son receive the double portion of the inheritance, but they generally also were then the patriarch of the family. They became the spiritual leaders of that home. Elisha was begging God, God, I need the power that you gave Elijah because I know you've called me to be the eldest son in this spiritual home here among the sons of the prophets. He knew and understood that God had called him. Elijah had told him, you're going to be a prophet in my stead. And Elisha says, I can't. I don't know how. I need all that God will give me. Would you, God, give me that inheritance of the eldest son? Because I know the responsibility is coming. And so God, in His wonderful grace to Elisha, let me make my pronunciation clear. What does He do? The very first thing that God does for Elisha. Elisha not tests him. He says, I need to know you're here, God. Takes that mantle, smacks the Jordan River. Where's the God of Elisha? Of Elijah. I can't even get it straight in my own mind, okay? I'm ruining my own powerful illustration. All right? Where's the God of Elijah? And God parts the water. He had just seen Elijah do it. What a wonderful indication. Elisha, I'm going to use you too. I'm going to be with you. There's much work to be done, and I need you to lead. No wonder he could, with almost righteous indignation, moments later, tell the sons of the prophets, no! Don't go looking for Elijah! He's gone. God has work for us to do. Don't waste our time searching for a body that's not there. There is a point at which, when we lose a dear saint of God, that we must say, okay, it's done. God's work goes on and we must be faithful in doing it. Let us not, this is terribly trivial, but let us not cry over spilled milk. It's God's work is going on. Pick yourself up and keep serving the Lord. Now it says, oh, are you saying I shouldn't cry today? No, we're all crying. But I'm saying that the work hasn't stopped because Sally is gone. God says there's work to be done. May we be faithful in training the next generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we wish that Sally would come back? Oh, yes. How many times, I've probably told some of you myself, oh, I wish Deb was back, my first wife. There are things that are lost to me because she's not here. I'm getting old. I'm a grandpa now. Right? There are times where the kids will ask me things about when they were kids. I was not the one to collect that data. Deb was. She kept it in her heart and mind, and I don't have it. It's gone. It grieves me at times. But Deb's not coming back. So life goes on, and I serve the Lord with all that He's given me to do. We could all say, I'm not as good as Sally. She had some... Yes, God gifted her in a unique way. I'm pointing to where she usually said. God gifted her in a unique way. She ministered to us in a wonderful, blessed way to our hearts, to all of us. We were moved. Well, God has gifted you. Elisha, serve the Lord. This isn't time to quit, to I'm done. I'm not, a great saint is gone and I'm just going to quit. No, 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 the work is still going on. Let us renew our hearts to further service. As we conclude today, turn with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The recording of another saint that was leaving this earth. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, as he's writing to his son in the faith, knowing that his time was short, he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished my course." Doesn't this sound like something Elijah could have said? Yep. "I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Those are cherished verses. But notice the instruction he gave to his son in the faith just before he said that. Verse 5. "Timothy, watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." Timothy, you've been called by God to preach the gospel, to in many ways fill my shoes when I am gone. Make full proof of your ministry. Accomplish all that God has called you to do. One of the greatest things we could do to honor the memory of a dear saint like Sally and those others who have gone on before us is to do the work that God has called us to do. To stay with that same heart. To be faithful to our God until He calls us home or until He comes. Let this separation renew us to greater service. A soldier is gone. She's with her Lord. There's a gap in the line. Let's step up. Let's stay with the battle because the work's not done. And let us be faithful. What a way to go. Elijah caught up in a whirlwind. They had prepared for that day. Life is full of preparation. Let us be faithful in personally preparing for the day. There we go. I won't add too many syllables. Let us as well be careful to be preparing our posterity. Life is filled at times with reflection, and today's one of those. But let our reflection cause us to rejoice in our God and renew our hearts in our walk with Him. Life will have times of separation. May that separation remind us that God is always with us. He did not die today. And let it renew our hearts to serve our Lord, to obey the call that He's given each of us to do. Make full proof of your ministry. Let's pray. Father, you've given grace today. You've allowed your children to hear your word. I could sense it in their faces. Thank you for that. We mourn the loss of a dear saint today. And yet, we rejoice that you are with us. We rejoice that you've given us work to do. Thank you that our life can be about you. And so help us to be about what you've called us to do. Lord, if there would be one here today that does not know you as their Savior, may today be the day where they prepare for eternity and they come to trust Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. For those of us here that know you and love you, may we, Lord, as we reflect on this time of separation, may it draw us to prepare our lives for seeing you one day. May it invigorate us to serve you faithfully today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, are you prepared to meet your Savior? Maybe today your heart's been challenged by the simple story in many ways of the departure of Elijah. And you'd say, Pastor, God's pricked my heart and there are some things I need to do so that I'm better prepared to meet my Savior. Is that your need today? Could I pray for you? Quietly slip your hand in the air and say, that's my need, Pastor. God's working in my heart. Yes, amen. Anybody else? Yes, yes. Secondly, believer, are you making full proof of your ministry? Are you serving God with all that He's given you to serve Him with? Maybe there's been a challenge in your heart and you realize you've been, could I put it this way, spiritually lazy. Not passionately serving your Lord. And you'd say, Pastor, God has worked into my heart today, and would you pray with me that God would give me the passion and the wisdom to serve Him fully, like Elijah did, like Timothy was called to do. Pastor, could you pray for me? Maybe you'd quietly sit here and say, that's my need. Yes, amen. Yes, several hands. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Amen. God has work for us to do even today, believer. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? The first step in preparing for eternity is to accept the wonderful offer of salvation that Jesus gives you because He died on the cross for you, rose again, conquering death. Would you come to Him today in simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ, turning from your sin? Maybe today that's your need and you'd say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be saved today. I know that I'm not prepared for eternity. I would hate to face His eternal judgment. Would you pray for me right now? My prayer won't save you, but I could pray for you and encourage you. In a moment, we'd have, give you an opportunity to come and meet someone, and they would quietly take you aside and share the gospel with you, the good news that Jesus Christ can be your Savior, and you could trust Him today. And know Him as your Savior, and know that you're ready to meet the Lord. Anyone quietly with an upraised hand say, that's my need today. I need to be saved today. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Anyone at all? Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray that it will do its good work beyond my fumbling words, that the word of God by the Spirit of God would bring comfort, would bring revival and renewal and encouragement. Lord, help us. Help us to make full proof of our ministry. Help us to be prepared and help others be prepared for eternity. If there's one here today without the Savior, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking about. Opportunity for you to respond to what God is doing in your heart and life. If you want to come and spend some moments in prayer here at the front, kneeling at the front steps or sitting at the front pew, we invite you to do that. If you need some counsel or encouragement, I'm going to step down to the floor and you come catch my hand and we get you connected with a counselor to be an encouragement and a blessing to you. If you're here today without the Savior, oh please, come. We would rejoice to share the gospel with you. And you could leave here today knowing for certain sure that heaven will be your home, that Christ is with you, that you are redeemed from your sin. So as our pianist quietly plays through the invitation hymn, as God's working in your heart, you come.